And welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 95.9 FM with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, check out VeritasMedical.com for archived programs and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you today?
Really good.
Good to see you. Well, lots of stuff going on. We're going to get right into it. We've got a special guest today as well.
Yes,
birthday
we
boy.
Yeah, Morley Robbins, birthday boy. Happy birthday, Morley.
Well, thank you, Ben. Thank you. And a happy birthday to Wade, I think, is a requirement as well.
Right.
That's
well,
right. Mine was just yesterday, so. 39 and holding, Morley. Do you believe that? He laughs. No, I don't. He laughs because
Well, our youngest turned 18 Thursday, so lots of birthdays this November.
God. There you go. Fantastic.
All right, a couple of announcements before we get started here.
Okay.
First, Health Freedom Lubbock. They're doing a fundraiser this Thursday out at the formerly Cap Rock Winery.
That's right, yeah.
Right, and now it's the Newsom
Cellars?
Yeah, English Newsom Cellars.
English.
So y'all go to healthfreedomlbk.com, Health Freedom Lubbock, but LBK instead of Lubbock, Health Freedom LBK.com. You can get your tickets there. I'll be speaking along with Dr. John Thomas, and there'll be a silent auction. It'll be a good time. And then Sunday, I just got this email this morning. There's a rally going on here in Lubbock. Stop the Mandate Rally for Lubbock, Texas. This is specifically for hospital staff, supporting all this the hospital staff that's been mandated to get the shot. So that'll be Sunday, November 21st from 2 to 3 p.m. Maxie Park on Quaker Ave. So y'all come support our healthcare workers. Next announcement for local folks who might be listening this morning that have an appointment at our clinic. There was a water main break downtown, and they had to shut the water off at our clinic. So we're going to do virtual appointments. If you have an urgent need or you had a procedure IV scheduled that's kind of urgent or emergent, just be in contact with your practitioner's assistant or our lab nurse. We can still get some emergency things done this morning. Hopefully that'll be fixed quickly, though. All right. So we're going to try to wean off the COVID topic. I've said that before.
Good luck.
We're like going every other week on talking about something else. So I thought, man, it's a good time to bring Morley in. It's his birthday. We could talk about the mitochondria, maybe not talk about COVID. And then, boom, Medicare comes out and says all these healthcare facilities have to be mandated. I didn't see the exact language, but I've gotten so many emails. I was giving a talk in Muleshoe, Texas, Thursday or Wednesday night, and there was a nurse there from Clovis. She runs a nursing home over there, and the mandate had just come down from her administrator, and the administrator did not want to give the mandate, hates giving the mandate, resisted giving the mandate, but his Medicare reimbursement is tied to it now in such a threatening way he has to. And she said this staff's going to walk out, basically, most likely the nursing home's, I mean, it's going to have to shut down. If someone doesn't voluntarily go in there and cook meals for those folks, which the body of Christ should do that, in my opinion. And then I've gotten inundated with emails from nurses from at UMC and Covenant, same situation. And I understand, you know, I haven't spoken to the administrators, but I've heard they're in the same predicament. I can imagine the predicament. If your Medicare reimbursements and funding is going to be halted, that's the threat, at least. So are they going to come through with that threat or not? I mean, it's a tough spot for an administrator. You know, shut down your hospital financially or shut it down because you have employees walking out and you can't staff it. Tough spot. I'd err on the side of the righteous decision for your employees. And, again, even if you have to ask staff to voluntarily come in and have a pay cut, put that on the legislature and the governor and these states to stand up to the unconstitutional mandates. But I would not put it on the backs of the employees. When, as our previous guests over the last few weeks have clearly pointed out, the all-cause mortality is higher in the vaccinated group than the unvaccinated. To ask someone to put their health at risk and force them to put their health at risk when the all-cause mortality is greater, we just can't do that. I want to encourage those nurses out there that have been emailing, no, right now I can't hire all of you. But I can say this. I will tell you, if you're a believer in particular, you'll be provided for. God is your provision, not UMC or Covenant or the nursing home or any other man. If you're a believer in the way of Jesus, the provision will be there. Trust me, from personal experience, I know. I was asked to leave my job on a Friday afternoon, be out by Monday morning. God provided the whole way, and not only provided, but exponentially increased the impact on lives and in, you know, my ability to reach people with the truth and wellness and health and wellness that you really shouldn't even need a doctor. I mean, I hate to say it, but we need to be at a place where we shouldn't even have to bat an eye if the hospital says we're shutting down, we can't hold any more people. We're either shutting down because we're broke, or we can't accept you because we have no more beds available, because we have no staff to staff the beds. That shouldn't be a concern at all for any of us. We were designed to be healthy. The best way to not worry about all this chaos in the healthcare world is not to need the healthcare system. And you were designed to not need it. If you will steward your health, we've been preaching this for almost 10 years now, and now it's coming right down to it. I mean, we are here. It is time to get on board, or you're in a heap of mess. So believe the truth. You can be well. You can reverse disease. We've had umpteen number of quote-unquote experts on this show, from Jason Fung telling you there's no such thing as type 2 diabetes, is completely reversible. And he's a nephrologist. His patients have been diabetic for 30 years and they're on insulin, and he still reverses it. From heart disease to cancer to you name it, deal with the root cause. And now more than ever. So nurses out there, you've got to go with what your gut tells you, your instincts, your heart, your spirit tells you. Don't make a decision based off fear of lack of provision. God will provide. You know, I don't know if that means there's going to be a Veritas Home Health Service where we hire 1,000 nurses to go out into the homes and treat these people. You know, voluntary contributions, because we don't take insurance or Medicare or Medicaid. And if someone's sick, they need help, maybe we'll just send you out there. And whatever people can contribute, they'll contribute. I don't know. God hadn't showed me that, but He will if we're supposed to. But I know one thing, we stick to the truth. We don't walk in fear. We don't walk in fear of COVID, fear of lack of provision, fear of our government, fear of anything. There's a lot that we could try to be fearful of right now, but we can't do that. As believers in particular, that's walking in the kingdom of darkness. Okay, so I've got a whole list of stuff we could talk about regarding this vaccine failure and COVID and all these countries that are highly vaccinated. The only thing I'm going to say is a study came out of Switzerland. The spike protein goes into the nucleus and impedes double-strand DNA repair. Translation, your DNA gets damaged all the time. The body has a mechanism to repair it. If it doesn't get repaired, bad things happen, like cancer. The spike protein inhibits that repair. Just another of many unintended consequences of a gene therapy medical device that we've never been able to successfully deploy on animals or humans. So, add that to the list of things you have not been informed about. So, in our quest to continue with informed consent and continuing to spread the truth and continuing to try to expose the root cause of this chronic disease tsunami that's overtaken our country this past 100 years, and the susceptibility to acute infections such as SARS-CoV 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and all the other germs out there, we want to continue to highlight your body's ability to defend itself. It's all about the terrain, not the germ. It's all about the terrain, not the gene. Genes are books on a bookshelf. Keep the good ones turned on, the bad ones turned off, if you even want to call them good and bad. It's things above the genes. This is called epigenetics. We've talked about it a million times. If you have the right environment around your genes, they will function like they're supposed to. meaning there won't be cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's and all the things that put you at risk for succumbing to COVID-19. It is the truth. I can't say it any more clearly. I mean, there are so many studies that point to this. And it's the seventh suppression that the Trusted News Initiative said they were going to do, the suppression of the truth. And this seventh suppression is how natural, not only natural immunity, but comorbidities is what's bringing you down, not COVID. And it's clear. If you're 85 years and older and do not have a comorbidity, the population fatality ratio is 0.026%. That's 85 years and older. 0.026% for COVID-19. If you do not have a pre-existing condition, if you're 75 years old to 84 years old, that's 0.014. And it just goes on down to practically zero for kids. More kids will most likely die from the injection. 60 so far are reported on VAERS. 23 of those less than 2 years old. 385 kids have died from COVID-19 in 18 months. There will be more fatalities from the shot, I predict, than from COVID-19 itself, and it's already happening. I'm already seeing injuries in my clinic. I'm going to make a house call this afternoon on one young person with an injury. We're in a deceptive time, an awful, awful deceptive time. So, if you have ears to hear the truth, and the truth is you're in charge of your health, not the government, not the hospital, not your doctor, not the pharmaceutical industry, not anybody, you. And the reason I highlight Morley Robbins' Root Cause Protocol so much, because when he brought the link between fear and metabolic chaos. When you're in fear, walking in fear, sympathetic dominance, fight or flight mode, there's physical consequences to that at the cellular level that will cause you to be more susceptible to COVID and everything else. And when I saw that connection and Morley brought that connection in, I thought, ding, 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 we need to highlight this. Because especially in the Western world where we're addicted to science and intellect and scientism, the religion, and we've got to have all the studies to prove stuff, understand, people need to connect the dots intellectually, but ultimately it gets down to more of a personal spiritual journey. So we're going to continue to connect those dots. Morley, thank you for joining us today to encourage the listeners in this get to the root cause of things. And in fact, Morley sent me an article, maybe we'll talk about it, from Texas Tech, talking about this very thing, the mitochondria and COVID-19 and comorbidities and age and the declining function of the mitochondria and the cell health and the immune system in folks who are more aged and have comorbidities. How can we push back against that? How can we keep the mitochondria robust? Just because you're 85 doesn't mean your mitochondria has to be sick and weak and susceptible to COVID, as I just pointed out in that study. So that's what Morley Robbins is here to do, to encourage us and bring us some, connect some scientific dots and bring the literature to us and help us have some confidence in our intellectual capacity, but then ultimately move deeper into that confidence spiritually, that we can just walk in the truth. So Morley, thank you for joining us. Thank you for continuing to dive into the research, and thank you for that article you sent me this, I guess it was late last week, from Texas Tech. I'd missed that from my own backyard. So welcome to the show, and any new or opening thoughts you have.
Absolutely. I'm still processing Jonathan Garaby's field goal from Saturday night.
62-yard field goal.
Dr. Liz and I were in a hotel bar in Atlanta. We were at a medical conference. So we're sitting at the bar having our dinner, and looked up, and the game is down 3 seconds, and Garaby's about to kick the field goal, and Liz said, "Is that doable?" I said, "Very unlikely." I said that would be akin to Doug Flutie winning the championship back in the 80s John F. Garraby nailed it. This is like, and I, the reason why I bring it up, it was just, it was an amazing athletic feat. I think it's very exciting. But what did it take for him to do that? It took a lot of energy. And I just marvel at point against all odds, he was able to help the team win the game. And I think what's important for the listeners to understand is that this, your opening monologue is very thoughtful and powerful as usual, but I think you introduce something that maybe needs to be emphasized, that I think many people are familiar with how seeds work. The seed actually has to break down and die in order for the new life to take place. But the seed really does have to completely break down. And it's kind of hard to think about that process as life after death, but that's exactly what the seed represents. And I think what we're witnessing, what you were highlighting, once again, is this notion of, I think we're witnessing the breakdown of the conventional medical system, whether this is by design or it's some unexpected benefit. But I think the whole idea that maybe this sea of uncertainty and chaos and injustice that we're swimming our way through is really revealing that it is time to take control of our health, that we do have this natural ability, this innate capacity to stay in balance. And what does it take to stay in balance on like a balance beam? You've got to have a lot of energy. It all comes back to energy. And I think it's important for the listeners to really reflect on, yeah, we can get, there's understandable outrage about the false mandates. They're not legal, and we can argue with the governmental attorneys about it. But at the end of the day, I think we need to move beyond that and embrace this new reality of healing that's emerging, that clearly is there. And I was really intrigued by your idea of creating a whole army of home health nurses. What an innovative idea. I'm not sure that you're seriously thinking about that, but what a powerful idea to flip this whole dynamic and turn lemons into lemonade. Let's change the healing model. Let's put the individual back in control where they should be. And I think what's particularly important about the article that I sent you, the one by Ganji and Reddy from this year, earlier this year, again, kudos to Texas Tech. They win football games, and they have some pretty good researchers, too. But what they're doing is they're putting a spotlight on the importance of the mitochondria and building on your comment about the latest salvo about what the spike protein does. Well, it's invading the mitochondria. It's affecting the very mechanism of how the immune system and the cells of the immune system make energy. And that, as you noted, people who are older, who have a greater tendency to have what are called comorbidities, you know, whether it's heart disease or diabetes or whatever it might be, are more compromised. Well, let's pull the curtain all the way back. Why are they more compromised? Why do they have these comorbidities? Because the process of aging causes two significant metabolic events. One is the gradual loss of copper in our metabolism, and the other is the gradual and unending accumulation and aggregation of iron in our tissue. And this is not fiction. This is absolute fact. And the copper and iron biologists and the metal-oriented clinicians all agree on this. And it's important for people to realize that a mitochondria without copper can't do its job. Actually, I was reading another article, fascinating article, that they got into the weeds of what's the mitochondria supposed to do? There's actually three essential functions of the mitochondria. Because we've been trained that, it just makes energy. Well, actually, you have to break it apart to really understand the importance of what these power grids, they are organelles, but they're actually kind of fused together in a very unique way to become a power grid. And the three things they do is, number one, they respire oxygen. Well, what does that mean? What that means is we breathe in and out, right? Our lungs breathe, but at a cellular level and at a mitochondrial level, there's something called respiration. Well, what does that really mean? It's very simple. It turns oxygen into water. Most important chemical transaction on the planet, because the oxygen in the air is poison, and we've got to turn it into water to keep the mitochondria at the pH of 7 so that the energy molecule can be released. And if you can't make water, you're going to make hydrogen peroxide. And so there's a big difference between H2O and H2O2. That extra oxygen turns that element into a more acidic element, and that changes the pH, and then you can't make as much energy. And we call that inflammation. Inflammation is nothing more than inefficient energy production. And the term that's used in the Texas Tech article, they're highlighting the recent research that has combined inflammation with aging, calling it inflammaging. And it's what they don't get into, certainly to my satisfaction, is they don't pull back the curtain to reveal the mineral disparities and interrelationships that are out of sync with each other. And it's an absolute fact that when copper goes low, iron's going to rise, not just in the liver, it's going to rise in the mitochondria. So the first requirement for mitochondria is let's turn oxygen into water. So the mitochondria are little water wheels. Very, very important image to have in your mind. Second, there's a membrane, a bilipid membrane, so two layers of fat, around all of the mitochondria and all of the cells in our body. And it's a big deal. And what the mitochondria do is they make sure that membrane is able to hold a charge. It's called membrane potential. It's voltage. The voltage, the energy of the cell and the energy of the mitochondria are embedded in that bilipid membrane. And the mitochondria need to maintain that on an ongoing basis. Very important step. And then the third step is the one that we've all been taught since high school, it makes ATP. But it's important to understand that there are three separate functions. One is we've got to turn oxygen into water, we've got to maintain the voltage, and we've got to be able to make ATP efficiently. And what we're learning, particularly in this article that you're highlighting, Ben, is that when COVID enters an older body, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. Anyone who has a comorbidity has lower energy production to begin with. Again, it's the work of Douglas Wallace at Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania, 2005. The glaring blind spot of allopathic medicine is not understanding energy deficiency in all chronic disease. Everything starts with a loss of energy. Everything starts with a breakdown of the mitochondria from doing those three jobs efficiently. And what is the source of efficiency? It's called copper atoms. If you don't have enough copper in our diet and enough copper in our tissue, it's not going to work. Which leads me to a book that I was just introduced over the weekend. The teacher at this conference is a chiropractor named Dan Murphy. And believe it or not, Ben, he's better read than I am. And he has an equally photographic memory. He can commit just things up off their title of year. It's like, I'm like, ah, my God. this guy knows the literature.
Got some highly functioning mitochondria.
No kidding, right? And so we're about the same age. He's 66, and I'm a young 69 now. And but he introduced me to this book about Otto Warburg called Ravenous. And for people who are interested in knowing the story behind the story about what is cancer really and what's the story behind Otto Warburg's involvement in that whole process, it reads like a murder mystery. I just started it this morning. But what's important to highlight is that in this book, the author, his name is Sam Apple. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins. A writing professor. He's not a scientist. He's a science writer, and he refers to mitochondria as having copper and iron wires. When you get into the electron transport chain, where the electrons are moving down what's called the ETC, he said it's like there are copper and iron wires. And I'm thinking, that's a great analogy. But it reminded me of when the telegraph first came out before the Civil War. They used iron wire to try to transmit the pulses of communication. Did you know that?
No. Interesting.
And after they experimented with it, then they discovered copper wire was 3 times faster. So they took down all the iron wire and replaced it with a copper wire. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, this is just a personal pet peeve of mine. We're supposed to believe that electrons flow through the electron transport chain through copper and iron and copper and iron. It's like, it doesn't make any sense at all. Why would Mother Nature use an iron wire when it's got copper there? That's the part that drives me crazy. Like, there's this obsessive need to bring iron into it when in fact, I think iron in the mitochondria is just like iron in a building. It keeps it structurally sound, but it has nothing to do with the movement of electricity or plumbing. And that's the work of copper. Can't move electrons, can't move water in a building without copper. And so the thing is, people need to realize that there's some very important concepts around the mitochondria that are coming to light, and that as it relates to this article by Ganji and Reddy, the hidden message of their article, which is beautifully written, is they're talking about how the mitochondria behave in aging humans. Well, they don't work as well because of the accumulation of iron that slows down the mitochondria, and it slows down the mitochondria, but it accelerates the comorbidity. I just want to make sure people connect those dots, that the statistics that you're sharing, which are impeccable, about how we shouldn't be worried about this even as we age, because if we have a healthy ancestral diet, if we're mindful of the stops and starts of the root cause protocol, if we are aware of the role that stress plays in changing our energy dynamics, especially the emotion of fear, well, then we can begin to transcend this whole dynamic and begin to move to this, I think, more enlightened state of health, which is really what I think we're both striving to do, is get people beyond this fear-based conventional system that is really designed to disempower people and get people to realize that we all have this natural ability to generate energy, but we need to have certain dietary habits, certain disciplines, but a certain awareness of how energy is really made. And it's made by these quadrillions of mitochondria that are the real thinkers of the cell. It's not the nucleus. The nucleus is a Xerox machine. And if you unplug a Xerox machine, does it work? No. And so it turns out that what's above genetics, as Dr. Ben says, epigenetics, which is just a fancy way of saying methylation. And what's above epigenetics is called energetics. If the power grid's not working right, it's going to affect the methylation patterns, which are then going to affect the function of the gene. The genes are responding to the energetic expression of that organism. And it's high time for people to realize what the hierarchy is, and that it all comes back to the energy. And where does the real breakdown of the gene take place? It's in transcription. The transcription of the code is the most important piece of the puzzle. And guess what? Transcription is copper dependent. So we're back to our friend, bioavailable copper, needing it in our diet, but just needing it in our day-to-day awareness about the importance of energy. So those are some thoughts to build on your introduction.
Wow. Couldn't have said it better myself. We need to make energy and clear exhaust. We are up against a break, Morley. We'll come back after this, though, and reiterate some of these points and dive in a little deeper to some other points. I want to remind everybody, Morley's got a new book out, Cure Your Fatigue, and that's available probably everywhere, right, Morley? Barnes & Nobles and Amazon everywhere. And
you won't find it in the little bookstores, but it's all online everywhere you can find it. Yeah.
Okay. So y'all check that out. Cure Your Fatigue, The Root Cause and How to Fix It on Your Own. Morley Robbins' new book. So y'all can also check out his website, rcp123.org. And from there, you can find all the other ways to follow Morley and the Root Cause Protocol. Y'all stick with us. We will be right back. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
And welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.
All right, we are back. Thank you, Wade. We've got Morley Robbins with us. Everybody check out his website, rcp123.org. I just got to say a quick word real quick on these kiddos age 5 to 11 that got approved to take this emergency authorized gene therapy injection. I see that from my point of view, I haven't been presented with any evidence that would say it's a good idea to do that. Number one, in adults, this has only been shown to reduce your chance of severe symptoms and hospitalizations. However, that data was the original data. And against Delta, the effectiveness has gone negative now in Israel. Some of the data in UK coming out, effectiveness went from 98% to 68% to 39% to 0% to negative percent. So the Delta variant is escaping out of the current gene therapy shot's ability to neutralize it. And the original data from Pfizer showed increased all-cause mortality. In the vaccinated group, more people died than the unvaccinated group, 15 versus 14. Then when they unblinded the unvaccinated and said, hey guys, y'all were the unvaccinated group if you'd like a vaccine now, which I should be calling a gene therapy injection. So after they unblinded and some of those folks decided to go ahead and take the injection, 5 more people died. So a total of 20 people died in the vaccinated group versus 14 in the unvaccinated group. That's what people should care about. That's the measurement we should be measuring is all-cause mortality. If you're going to take a therapy that prevents a certain symptom, severe symptom, but it induces other things like death, you probably don't want to take that therapy. And in a low-risk population, like 18 and under, or 5 to 11-year-olds, there is no risk of severe symptoms and hospitalization. So why would you take a experimental gene therapy that's only been shown to decrease that risk of hospitalization and severe symptoms in the original alpha variant, not the delta variant, if you have no risk of that? It makes no sense at all, and I can't see one instance, medically speaking, where anyone's presented any data that would say there's a benefit greater than that outweighs the risk. None. Zero. Don't know why we're even talking about this. Why did the FDA approve it? I don't know. Taiwan hasn't, and UK hasn't, and lots of other countries haven't, but I think Robert F. Kennedy nailed it this weekend when he was given a speech. Money, money, money. This whole thing, obviously, is not about the health. Just follow the patents. We'll have Dr. Martin, David Martin, on next week talking about some patents. And we'll have Dr. Peter Breggin on in the future with his book, COVID-19, Global Predators, We Are the Prey, and his 1,000 references laying out this case of how this premeditated plan is now being put forth. So, the children in particular is who, I have a heart for, because they don't have the ability to have informed consent. The adults haven't really either, but the kids in particular. So many parents just have not been told the truth. I don't know a single parent that would authorize this if they were told the truth. But going on from there, back to the mitochondria. Even your kids' mitochondria, 54% of kids have a chronic disease. Autism went from 1 in 10,000 when I was a kid to 1 in 36, I think now. The latest data, boys, it's even worse than that. And autism's a mitochondrial disease. Mitochondrial disease, as is cancer, as is heart disease. The first heart attack ever reported in American literature, 1912, there was one. Prior to that, there were zero recorded in the literature. Now it's the number one killer. 600,000 people will die from heart disease. And that's a mitochondrial disease. Alzheimer's is a mitochondrial disease. All of it is a mitochondrial disease. All these are new diseases. And so over the past 100 years, as our diet started changing, that membrane bilipid layer Morley was talking about, we got to keep a charge on the bilipid layer, that cell membrane and the endoplasmic reticulum membrane and the mitochondrial membrane and all these membranes will be less functional or dysfunctional, oxidizable, when you put in processed seed oil, these fats that are pro-inflammatory, which started to come in the early 1900s with the steel press and cotton seeds being pressed to get cotton seed oil called Crisco. But canola oil and soybean oil and corn oil, the modern oils of modern food that's on the shelf at every grocery store and in every restaurant. Kudos to those restaurants who are stepping out to use real healthy fats again. But That's one of the main problems. We're eating the wrong fat and have been for 100 years, and disease has escalated since then. That membrane can't hold a charge, can't let oxygen in and exhaust out of the cell very effectively. The nutrients in our food have been diminished because of modern agricultural techniques. We've raped the land to now it takes 80 or plus more percent food. You know, one study that talks about apples from 1950s, you could eat one apple back then to equate the nutritional value of what was in 25 apples in 1997. And that's across the board from cabbage to carrots to lettuce to blueberries, you name it. Modern techniques of mass production of this food and picking it too early, we're mineral depleted in our foods. So we lack the copper. We started adding iron, fortifying. Go back and listen to Sue Becker's couple of podcasts I did with her, and the fortification of the white bread in particular, the enriched white flour. And that's not even talking about the increased stress we've put on the body. The increased stress, we require more copper, more B vitamins to be able to handle this increased stress. But we have less as a human population. Less available nutrition in our food. The nutrition that is there is the wrong kind. It's synthetic, fortified, and it's this processed vegetable oil. And that doesn't even get into all the sugar and high fructose corn syrup and how that shuts down this whole process in your liver of making energy and clearing the exhaust. We have killed ourselves. We are killing ourselves. It is clear in the literature. Even conventional literature says 95% of all cancer is not genes, it's diet and lifestyle. But you can say the same for heart disease and Alzheimer's and these chronic conditions in our kids. All right, Morley, Methylene Blue. That was the topic of our last conversation. I got lots of good feedback from that, lots of inquiries from the general public and patients and staff on Methylene Blue. I've talked to a number of doctors since then. Dr. Lozano down in Mexico City has treated COVID-19 with Methylene Blue, nebulized and intravenously and sublingually. He also combines an ultraviolet blood irradiation device that historically has been around for over 100 years. The Knott's device was the original device back in the 1930s, 1940s. So ultraviolet blood irradiation has been well documented to be germicidal for viruses, bacteria, parasites, fungus. So Dr. Lozano is probably the pioneer in methylene blue and ultraviolet light together. So I'm excited to learn more from him. I was on a Zoom conference call this weekend, a teaching session with him. But methylene blue, I think, is going to be incorporated more and more and more into some protocols. And especially I'm getting a sense for as just outpatients and lay people, because this is available over the counter. And of course, nebulizers are available over the counter. And these home nebulizing protocols for people, especially when there's no access to doctors because doctors refuse to treat COVID, and there's no access to hospitals for various reasons. The hospitals either refuse unvaccinated people, or they're understaffed, or they're not financially sound anymore. But bottom line, ways to treat yourself at home. And I want the listeners to not hear me the wrong way. I don't want you to sit around and wait to get sick and then nebulize some methylene blue or take it sublingually or try to reach out to our clinic. No, I want you to eat real food, eat healthy fat, remineralize yourself, quit eating the standard diet, be at peace, work on your spiritual walk, and not need any of this. You know, I got COVID early on, and for a day. I mean, it was significant chills and fever and, I mean, rigors where my whole body was shaking and felt awful. And the next day I felt a lot better. And then the next day after that, I was felt normal. The body's designed to handle itself, to handle these bugs. So, but still, I know people, we meet them where they're at. They're on their journey. And the next bioweapon that's released, you know, maybe none of us will be able to handle it. And we'll need some methylene blue. And the reason I'm honing in on methylene blue as opposed to some of these other over-the-counter therapies and pharmaceutical therapies is because of its multidimensional effects, including increasing your energy, increasing your mitochondrial output, and helping you deal with the exhaust. So when I heard this, that methylene blue can kill germs, boost your mitochondrial output, and deal with the free radicals, I thought, man, it's got to be doing something with copper, because copper is the backbone of our ability to kill germs, make energy, and clear exhaust. So, Morley, let's review that methylene blue again, because I had such a good response to it, and because I'm learning myself, and have you learned anything more since our last chat?
Yeah, I think what's important for people to realize, I don't think even your listeners understand the level of iron toxicity that exists in the modern human's tissue. I found a very important article by my buddy. He's one of my heroes. After you, Dr. Ben, Joseph LeVay would probably be one of my greatest heroes. His ability to speak the truth, but also research the truth. He's a copper expert, but he wrote an article in 2016 about ischemic heart disease, and he revealed the origin of iron being recommended for obstetrical services. It was back in 1931. It was in a textbook that you may have used in school called Williams Obstetrics. And that's the very first recommendation for 27 milligrams of iron sulfate in pregnant women. He said prior to that, Williams Obstetrics never had that mentioned. And now what we don't know is why. But I think the important thing is that we've got a lot of iron in our body. What does iron do? It causes rust. What's it rusting? It rusts a lot of things, but it rusts the copper enzymes that allow the mitochondria to respire. And I think what the real gift of methylene blue is it's, the analogy I'm using is it's copper polish. Think of it as, we all know what silver polish is, brings back the luster. Well, I think what methylene blue is bringing back the functionality or the bioavailability of copper, and think of it as liquid copper. I mean, does it have copper in it? Yeah, parts per million, about 50, which is not a lot, but it also has other elements in it as well. But what it's allowing the mitochondria to do, and more importantly, complex four to do, is breathe again. Do its job. Move the electrons. Make water. And it's mystical almost. And when you get into the literature of it, and you know, it's literally like describing Superman, you know, leaping tall buildings faster than the speed of bullet, you find out that every mechanism that methylene blue is correcting is a copper enzyme. 100% of them. It's not affecting, you know, selenium, or it's not affecting boron. It's affecting the copper status inside the cells and inside the mitochondria. So in these hyper-stressful times where we're being exposed to toxins on a scale that are hard to fathom, I think we need to have every advantage that we can get. I think what we're, within the RCP community, what we're coming to realize is that it may be the very front end of the process, that people would do this, you know, maybe for several months before they start the protocol, just to begin to reignite the metabolism of the body so that the body could accept the nutrient density of both the food and the supplement program that we recommend. And again, the capacity for methylene blue to stop neurodegeneration in its tracks, it stops cancer, it stops heart disease, it stops COVID as you're noting, and it's almost too good to be true, right? And I think the only, there's two downsides that I can see, or that I personally have experienced. One is that it will turn your urine blue. Well, that's unusual, but you get used to it. But the other thing it does is it really changes the functionality of the platelet cell. And I was scheduled to have a blood donation a couple weeks ago. Phlebotomist came to our home. She was doing her usual routine, like she uses needles that are too small, and she's always having to go to the other arm. And she goes from my right arm to my left arm, and nothing came out. I mean, nothing. She looked at me and says, "Did you have any water?" And I said, "Yeah, I had water." She said, "Was there anything in that water?" And I said, "Well, yeah, there was methylene blue." She said, "I don't know. It's doing something to your clotting process." And then a couple of the other RCPCs have experienced this, that if they've been on methylene blue, they have a hard time donating blood. And we were thinking about it. Wait a minute. That's what humans were designed to do. We're not designed to bleed out like we experience. The body is supposed to be able to self-regulate. And I'm not suggesting that we would want to completely stop the bleeding function. That's not healthy, especially for menstruating women. But the thing is, methylene blue is bringing the physiology back to its original state. And I think we've been raised in an era where we're supposed to be, oh, you've got a bleeding disorder. You've got to take blood thinners and all this. And it's like, wait a minute, what was causing all that coagulation of blood was too much iron. And so I think people need to be mindful that it seems to have amazing clinical properties, amazing metabolic properties, and just be sensitive that it is going to change the color of your urine, and it may affect your ability to donate blood regularly. And I think it's actually getting us back to a more natural state. But its capacity to change the physiology is amazing. I think, Dr. Ben, what you're experiencing is the combination of methylene blue with white is nothing short of a miracle. Again, back to my earlier comment, the complex that we're most focused on inside the mitochondria, complex 4, cytochrome C oxidase, it absorbs red light and it emits blue light. And methylene blue helps to facilitate that critical mechanism that runs our physiology, runs our electrons. And I think it's a wonderful resource that is going to be an important part of the RCP. And like I said, we're still sorting through where does it belong? I don't think it's a replacement. I know it's not a replacement. But is it done before hit the start, or is it done during? That's what we're still kind of experimenting with a group of our institute graduates. So it's been a very exciting time for us to try to process all this.
Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can get Dr. Lozano on the show soon, the doctor in Mexico City that's using it and has been for a while.
That's
great. We'll let you know what he says. But, Morley, we're about out of time. I just want to encourage everybody, rcp123.org, go check out Morley's stuff, get the manual, join a group, Facebook group, or the RCP group, and the book, Cure Your Fatigue. Check it out. He goes deeper into all these things. And
for those who want to do the training, excuse me, real quick, for those who want to do the training, got a new class starting up first week in February next year, and this is the time to sign up. So for those that really want to take a deeper dive, we'd love to have you in Group 15, which will be meeting then in a few months.
Yep, and I want to confirm that is a deeper dive. It's a very deep dive. It's like a 10,000-foot dive, and so you better be able to hold your breath and run real fast. Morley really, really brings it in that class, and that was a few years ago, so I can't imagine now what he's added to it. So I encourage y'all to do that. It's a good investment. I think people can see more clearly now. One of the best investments you can make is in your own health and in your own understanding of health and how to be the cure. You're the cure, stewardship of your health, and having the knowledge behind it and the support and the instruction. So that's what we're here to do. Morley will bring you a whole lot of knowledge in that class, so y'all check that out. And don't fear, don't walk in fear. Again, nurses out there, and all hospital staff, if you feel convicted to not take, not be coerced or forced to take an emergency youth authorized gene therapy shot, God will make a way. He'll make a way for you. He'll provide for you if you're submitted to Him. So be encouraged. We know who wins in the end. Morley, thanks for joining us. Wade, thanks for having another outlet for us to speak the truth on. And everybody, we will be back next week with another great show. I'm Ben Edwards, and you're the cure.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Morley, as well. You have a wonderful rest of your week. We look forward to seeing you back here on You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Again, check out veritasmedical.com for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com. Again, their telephone number is 701-1990. That's 701-1990. Curbside service always available at Hub City Organics. Now, if you need to build up your immune system, and maybe you've got joint issues, pain, inflammation, or maybe you've got digestive issues, hey, get by Hub City Organics today. Talk with Jimmy and the staff. They know what they're doing. They can help you out through any of these issues and more, whether it's COVID-19, any of it. We can help get you protected this season for sure. Again, hey, mention you heard it right here on the Wade Wilk Show or Dr. Edwards Holistic Reborn Nutrition Show. Receive $5 off when you come in and spend $50 or more. Again, Hub City Organics, located at 5206 82nd Street, 701-1990. Come. Patterson Ranch, established in 2007 over in Cochrane County, is family-owned and operated. If you're looking for high-quality, low-cost bulk beef, then Patterson Ranch is the best choice, whether it's quarter, half, or whole beef. All of their beef is native pasture-raised until processed. No antibiotics, no hormones. For smaller purchases, come see them every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Farmers Market in Wolforth. You can also order online at the website PattersonRanch.net. That's PattersonRanch.net. And deliveries are available. Like us on Facebook, Patterson Ranch 07. You get better beef at a better price knowing exactly where it comes from, Patterson Ranch. Right now is the time to get your name on the list for this year's grass-fed beef, quarter, half, or whole beef. Go to PattersonRanch.net for all the details.
Are you dealing with pain, high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, or simply need more energy? Then go by and see the ladies at Sisters Herbs. They have specialty blends that will help you start feeling better and get you on the road to healing your body. Their blends are natural and organic and can be personalized to meet your specific needs. Blends are available in capsules or teas. And don't forget your pets. Come check out our Critter Corner and find remedies to get your best friend feeling better too. Sisters Herbs is located at 3308 82nd Street. Store hours are Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 6 p.m., Saturday, 10 to 5 p.m. Go in and chat with one of the very knowledgeable ladies about how they can create an herbal remedy just for you. Like us on Facebook or call us at 806-939-8574. Sister Herbs, proud sponsor of Your Health Today.
Today we are focusing on our health and our immune systems more than ever before. Is this clear and strong focus out of necessity? Most likely, but nonetheless it is driven by the need to do everything we can to get healthy. Irwin Naturals brings you a groundbreaking line of unique immune-supporting products using the most effective nutrients in easy-to-swallow, highly digestible soft gels. Check out the products from Irwin Naturals at Vitamins Plus Drug Emporium, located at 5109 82nd Street in Lubbock, Texas. Make sure to say hi to Stacy when you visit the store.
You constantly see warnings against having too much red meat in your diet. This is because the typical red meat you purchase has been grain-finished for rapid weight gain and has a fat profile that's not as healthy as